Hello to everybody. This is episode 6 of the Violoncello podcast. And we have a very, very, very special episode planned. This is going to be really, we're trying something new. And who knows how this is going to go? We're all very interested, on the edge of our seats. Basically, we decided to pick a piece for this episode. And David can tell you more about that.
Yeah, I certainly love chamber music. That's one of my biggest passions, and one of my favorite pieces is the Beethoven Opus 59 number 1. So we thought we'd start with that piece, specifically the first movement, probably the first few sections, and just a transcendental piece that is very near and dear to my heart. I know I've had so many wonderful, illuminating coachings on this piece. I'm sure you can say the same. And there's just so much to find in this piece, and so we're gonna see what we can find today.
Great. So we've picked three recordings to listen to just to kind of compare and contrast different styles, just basically what we hear. We're gonna listen with you and just give our thoughts. It's like what they're doing with sports these days, you know. It's like they have these alternate, streams where people, give commentary on the action, So that's what's going on here. And but this is free. So that's a one bonus to what we do. At least it's free right now. But so we the three we I'm just kidding. So the three that we decided to pick were the Budapest String Quartet recording and a Cleveland Quartet recording and an Alban Berg Quartet recording. And you'll notice that these are all sort of safe to talk about in a way, because most of these quartets, their careers are over. There's like some of Alban Berg are still teaching, and it's not like all these people are dead or anything, but anyway. Yeah. So why don't we start with Alban Berg and sort of work our way back. We'll do Alban Berg, which is the most recent, and then Cleveland, and then go back to the Budapest.
Sounds good.
Without further ado, let's just listen to a bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good excerpt there. Yeah. I don't want to like go forever because obviously the piece, yeah, it's going to end up being a really long podcast. So, yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was what's one word that comes to mind? I don't know, maybe tasteful. I know that sounds kind of cliche, but what I appreciated was their a few things, a lot regarding like pacing. Like everything seemed to be in control, and the things that were forte in character and in sound, and not too like I feel like they are really good at pacing their sound, which I appreciate. And the same idea, the amount of time that they take often, particularly when playing really loud and then having to go really quickly to something very soft, the amount of time was so tasteful. And then by the opposite token, when they were playing very quietly, and then you have a kind of a subito forte section, that was there was the few times that I heard there was like no time, and so it really helped just pop that character out. And so for me, it was a wonderful rendition, and that little cello solo with those triplets, dum, da, 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 dee, da, 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 dee, I thought it was just wonderfully done. I mean, it's fortissimo there, and there's sforzandos. I thought those all came out brilliantly. But then when there's sforzando pianos, those were very tastefully done, so that it was not kind of like a fortissimo pianissimo, but it was very tasteful. So that was just wonderful for me.
Yeah, I like what I was nodding my head emphatically when you said like pacing and nothing was out of place, which I appreciate. Like when I listen as a music critic, the most obvious things are just things that don't belong. Like those are what stick out. So there wasn't anything like that here. Just everything was, I mean, my word is would be mature. It's just a very mature recording. I felt very carried through with the phrases. So I feel like there's some building of the like in the inner voices, there's some real strengths. The first violin playing wasn't my favorite. Like the passage work is seems a little bit like heavy. Yeah, like it should have been tossed off easier. Overall, like there's this, I don't know if it's a stereotype, but I gotta be, I'll be careful what I say, but I feel like the cellist really drives the music in this quartet. I feel like he's the real source of the emotion and music. And I just really felt that in this recording. That he, when it was supposed to be intense, he's the guy that drove that. And so anyway, that's what stood out to me. I really like the cellist. He's just it's intense but still tasteful, like you said. Yeah, anything else? Should we jump to the next one?
It just gives me fond memories of listening as a kid to their performance of Death and the Maiden. Also, just very strong playing. And so that's what I really appreciated here, but also very sensitive to the markings by Beethoven and sensitive to all the different unique harmonies. And so I like that word mature. I thought that was very, very accurate.
Yeah, and when your point with the timing, it's amazing, and all the we'll see with the other two. But when the duet happens with the lower strings and upper string, that is really hard to play together. Because it's really long. Anyone listening will know that it's really hard to play fast notes together for more than a few beats, and it's a passage that just keeps going, and like up and down. And I just you can tell that they all like kind of feel it the same way, which is what quartet's supposed to be, really. You're supposed to have like one idea, especially when you're playing together and in harmony. Yeah, that was a good recording. I was very impressed. Okay, we'll see how Cleveland sounds. My grand teachers, the Cleveland Quartet. Roughly where we stopped, right? Yeah. What do you think?
I think for me, if I had to pick another word, not in the traditional sense, but I would say beautiful. I thought that they were a little less rough around the edges in terms of their articulation generally than the previous group. I thought perhaps there was like two places. One was just towards the end where they have forte quarter notes with wedges. There's another spot. Like there was like two places that they really were like rough in their articulation and aggressive. And so I wonder, as I went on, I thought, oh, maybe what they're doing is they're saving their sound for a couple select places. But then, like in the cello solo, for example, in the sforzandos, they were much smoother than the Albanberg cellist. So that's kind of why I picked the word beautiful. What I also appreciated was two things. One is they would occasionally take time in some places that I thought was wonderful. Like it was clearly not at all metronomic in like not robotic in the sense of time in a lot of places, like the same duet that we mentioned earlier. It was not, the priority was not to be in time there. And so I loved the way that they took time. And then the last thing I'll say is this one hits home for me. It was clear that they prioritize, especially I could hear in the first solo part, they prioritize showing intervals that, as if you're singing it, that you feel the space in between intervals. I absolutely heard that, and I thought that was a wonderful attribute to this group. So this felt like a little bit newer of a style to me, perhaps a younger style compared to the Albanberg, and I'm sure the Budapest will be a much older style. But yeah, I really appreciated this recording overall.
Yeah, it sounded, I mentioned they're my grand teachers, but I mean they really sound, I mean the Jupiters sound a lot, they pattern a lot after this style. There's no doubt about it. And I was taught a lot about intervals and this kind of thing, studying with the Jupiter Quartet. But so that's what I kept thinking about. I was like, wow, this is, I was kind of smiling inside because I can kind of see that being passed on. And I'm not sure if I do that necessarily quite the same way, but the interval thing I think about a lot. Although my background's in piano, so that's part of the reason I think about it a lot, I think, but oh yeah. Yeah, it's good. I think I actually like the cello interpretation from the first one better. That's just me. This one didn't seem to have as much life to me. I felt a little bit down. Like it didn't have the energy. But when you say beautiful, I'm sure that was the intent. Okay, but let's do number three. Okay, this is, wow, Budapest, an older Budapest recording here. I mean, and this is in 1952. I'm trying to think. This is like well into their. I mean, they form like World War I. So if that gives you an idea, like. So it's probably 35 years in to their quartet, if my math's right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. It's different. Yeah. What do you think?
I think I know where this is going to go, but I could be totally wrong
Well,
that
you know me, so like
what?
I said, you know me, so you probably
Yeah,
know. You probably already know my opinions, but
I have a feeling you're
no,
gonna say all this.
we've never talked about these, just for the record, but you probably do know.
Well, I just have a feeling you're gonna talk a lot about how that is your favorite recording, is my guess. And
Why and why?
the tr it sounds very traditional. And in old style, which I know you appreciate. And I've yet to experience that, I think, in my young life, but yeah, this one felt pretty matter of fact to me often, and a little bit heavier. I have a feeling maybe their opinion would be that this kind of music, which they're right, can speak for itself, and you have to let it speak for itself. But I thought maybe it went a little too much in that direction. I thought that it just seemed a little bit matter of fact for me. So yeah, this one was not exactly my style, but I think it is your style. That's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the reason I play the violin, why I like string quartet, that's why this is my favorite recording. And the reason is just sound quality. And it's just the sound quality just blows away the other groups, in my opinion. And that's a subjective thing. So, but that's my opinion. I appreciate the richness of sound and the singing quality to the sound, which you just I also appreciated it was the places that needed to be, like when they pass the arpeggio up and down, right? That kind of stuff is better than the other groups. So you get some sloppy moments, but you also get like it sounded like one instrument. I couldn't even believe it. I thought it was one instrument, and I didn't get not nearly that kind of quality with the other groups from a technical standpoint as well. So I really appreciate the quality of this recording. It's amazing, and when it's in terms of the gestures, they really nail the gestures where there's this feeling of all four when they whoomph into something. It's just right. There's one moment I wish I could find it. I don't think I'd be able to find it, but where they all just I'm trying to I'm I think it's right after this. Yeah, there, it's just amazing playing. Anyway, I don't think that's it, but. Moments like that, right? See, listen to this. And part of it is that, I have a Russian background. And so that's always kind of in my head. That's kind of who I am. Like this, the Russian style. And it's where you kind of coax. Like the sound is like the beautiful sound is like sung. It's like coaxed out. It's never pressed. And anyway, so those are some of my thoughts. But you're definitely right that I wanted to just wax eloquent on how great this was and amazing and all of those things for sure. But I can appreciate the directness. I could see why you might not like that as much. That it's they don't play with the time as much. And yeah, it's they but they manage to make music within the constraints. But yeah, So yeah, any other thoughts? Should we vote? I mean, I guess people kind of know what I think, but do you have a favorite?
Not exactly. I mean, probably Guarneri. I think that most aligns with my style. And this Budapest recording, definitely the least, I think, aligns with my style. That's how I would voice my opinion.
Yeah, I think I mean, you say Guarneri, we didn't listen to Guarneri, but that's fine. They do have a great recording. I kind of grew up listening to Guarneri Beethoven, so that's sort of my standard in a way. But yeah, I think Budapest is probably my favorite. I find it the most useful. Maybe that's part of the thing with the tradition. I like the old style, the traditions. I find it more useful to know how people played in 1950 than in 1980, because I kind of know how they played in 1980. That's basically when I was born. So I find that, yeah. So maybe that's part of it, but. I would say so I'd put Budapest one out of what we heard, and then I liked Alban Berg, and then lastly Cleveland. I'm with apologies to the first violin because I like him a lot. I like his playing. It's good playing.
I think for me, the just looking back at my memories of listening, my kind of go-to was always Eben. So it'd be interesting to do a round two with Guarneri, Eben, and another quartet or two. They've always been my go-to, and I don't think I'm alone in that viewpoint with a lot of my colleagues. But yeah, I think for me, I would go with Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But I'm not surprised at all. I know we think about music a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's definitely your style, I think. Yeah. I really didn't like the, but I can see the sophistication in a sense of the cellist, but I just, and some of it is when we hear it too. I'm not feeling that tonight. Just not my style tonight. Like maybe another time I could hear it another time and be like, whoa, that's amazing that he's playing so sensitive Beethoven. But tonight I feel like Beethoven should be strong, powerful. Anyway, this, I always picture like Furt Wangler, with his, and yeah, some of these great conductors of old with that are German that have this certain stubbornness. Yeah. Well, I that was pretty much the idea here. I'm not sure if there's any like overall takeaways, but I think it's useful to do this every once in a while for everybody. Not necessarily. Well, and this might be more con it doesn't have to be like the piece you're playing, I when I say not necessarily the piece you're playing, for me, I actually don't usually listen much. People approach it differently. I'll listen after I'm done playing sometimes and be like, oh, that's interesting how they did that or whatever. I like to keep things pretty fresh and mostly hear if I can. But yeah, it's super useful to do this. It's a good exercise in listening. It also teaches you about yourself. Like, what do you like? And your tastes change over time. I didn't always like the old style of playing or whatever, That was definitely not me 15 years ago. I would have kind of rejected it right away, probably. So, yeah, it's always in mo and there's always new recordings, which is great. But do you have any thoughts on just the whole comparison thing or just hearing different ideas?
Yeah, it's a great listening exercise. And of course, the goal is not to choose a winner or to even to choose your favorite. That's not the goal either. But it certainly is a great exercise in listening and also forming your own opinions and thoughts and beliefs. So I think it's a wonderful thing.
Nice. I'm kind of toying around. I'm just really curious about this now. Like we probably should have done the how do you even say them? I don't know. A ben? A bene? A benny?
I do not know.
I've never yeah, no, I mean no shame there. It's not I like it has the accent thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't even remember, but
Yeah, oh.
they I look I still listen to them basically almost every day. So
Whoa, amazing. Okay, so this will be our PS.
Yeah, they're so faithful to the markings, and yet at the same time, there's so much variety, and it just feels like the four of them are holding my hand and taking me on a journey, and we don't stray off the path at all. Like they, like the pulse is maintained so well, but at the same time, we stop to look at every little thing that Beethoven wrote for us. It's like walking on a path, and you notice all these things. They're showing me all these things, but we still keep going. And the unity is just incredible. And the pacing.
Yeah, nice. I think it's a really great modern recording for sure. I don't have much to add. Yeah, it's I mean I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think I'm just trying to think where compared to the other three. And I'm not sure. Like they like the modern thing of like not doing vibrato and stuff, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I get why, and there's different colors, and I do appreciate it. I mean, I get it. But I probably, I'm not sure. It's up there. It's up there with the Alban Berg for me, behind Budapest. I mean, but yeah, some things with Alban Berg I liked a bit more, but I like this too. So anyway, yeah, so it's been fun, this little adventure, and I think it's a good idea. Let us know if you want to hear more of this kind of thing, comparisons, and you can comment, like, and subscribe. Is that what people do?
I think so.
Yeah. So you can like subscribe and then comment some things, if the comments are even allowed. Maybe they're turned off. But if they're not allowed, you can find me on the internet and tell me. It's not too hard. Google my name. Just Google me. And any final thoughts?
It's a great, yeah, it's opened my ears, so that's excellent. Yeah, wow, yeah, all four great recordings, and
Amazing. All four are amazing.
yeah, for me, Ben is just wow, they are unbelievable.
They are unbelievable. They're fantastic. Okay. We'll see you next time for episode 7. And we'll have another great episode. And looking forward to it. But for now, signing off, this is Ned.
Take care.
And that's Dave, you're supposed to say, and this is David.
Oops.
All right, bye.